Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Dr. Jeffrey Hathorn has joined the fray here on Pomp and Joe. All he had to do was walk right down the hallway. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Jeff did a wonderful job, was all over the U.S. Open. So that's where we begin today, Jeff.
He did.
Wasn't he great?
Always there looking at providing. Yeah, it's one of the greatest things you can cover, I think, if you get in our business here.
He was our Walter Cronkite, our Hunter S. Thompson, our whoever else you want to name.
So much fun.
Our sideline reporter, everything. You were great. But I want to begin with this. The ratings were very low for the final round. Lowest in years, TV ratings.
I'm surprised by that because there was nothing else going on, and I thought people would clamp onto the drama because
there was drama.
So how did the rain delay affect that?
Well, that's true,
good
too.
Good question. But here is our very own Andrew Filippone on the U.S. Open as an event and how it sort of played maybe nationally, and was it a great all-time Pittsburgh event, as others have said. Josh Rountree tweeted that. This was Pony the other day leading off his show Monday.
It was a dramatic finish in that you had guys also barfing all over themselves and just a crazy leaderboard where guys were bogeying and double bogeying and screwing up and Spawn trying to dodge the landmines that were the Oakmont back nine on a Sunday at the U.S. Open. But let's be honest, this was not a great tournament. But this is going to go down as one of the most forgettable U.S. Opens of all time because a journeyman golfer won it.
That was his point, that, you know, ultimately, or ideally, I should say, to make it a truly great and memorable event, you would have wanted the big names chasing each other, battling each other down the stretch. Your take, Jeff.
Well, rarely does that ever happen. Rarely does that happen. And I think it's as much defined by what J.J. Spawn goes on to do. Has he become a dominant golfer? Not the dominant golfer, but a golfer that wins, multiple tournaments a year over the next five. Then it's like Ernie Els. Who the hell knew of Ernie Els? Els is a little younger than Spawn was, or Spawn is. But because Els became a good golfer, that tournament, that result was higher, right?
Elevated, yeah. What was it, a great event for Pittsburgh? Was it a great
event? I'm biased because I was there.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to be objective with this because I think 200,000 people that hung through the rain, that were chanting JJ at the end, and USA when Keegan Bradley, who's going to be the Ryder Cup captain, was there. Like, the energy at the place, given the circumstances of the weather, I think was outstanding. And, I mean, you finish it off with a guy driving the green on a par four and then hitting a 65-footer to win it. It's pretty exciting.
I loved it. And again, I'm like Jeff, I'm a golf fan. I watch these things, but I watch a lot of things. I'm sure we all do. I don't necessarily care who is winning. You know, sure, you want the big names for those who are casual fans. You want to see those guys because that's all you ever hear about. I get it. The effect Tiger Woods had on tournaments when he wasn't there versus when he was. I get all that. But if you're into just the drama of it, the course being what it was, how dangerous. And I also think it's important to value pars and birdies much more than they do on some of these regular PGA Tour stops where 35-under is winning these days. To make the cut, you got to be 12-under par. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. This puts a value on pars. Pars are good scores. They want to identify guys who just do what they're supposed to do, stay out of the trouble. Yeah, there's trouble. It's only if you hit it that it's trouble. If you don't, you'll be fine. J.J. Spahn was one of the best all week at driving accuracy and putting. You make 431 feet worth of putt in the final day. You're making some pretty good putts.
Well, and I think there are some young players that are going to be around for a while that if any one of those would have won, maybe it's a little bit different. I think Sam Burns is going to be around. He's a 20-something. Victor Hovland, Robert McIntyre. All those guys were in the hunt. And Scotty was in the hunt. He just couldn't make a putt.
Right.
I mean, how many makeable birdies did he miss? And then he three-putted from 8 feet.
How do you guys explain the low ratings?
I do think rain played into it. And I think for as much as there is a group of people that loves to see the carnage, I think there are some that are kind of put off by chipping out of the rough by some of the conditions. So I think that lowers it a little, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do. But I also think the big name factor is in effect. I do think people want to watch the big names go at it. If Rory and Scheffler had battled down the stretch like last year, DeChambeau and Rory did, the ratings naturally are better. So I get that take, and Andrew's fine with that. I get it. But I go for, again, I want to see the best shots rewarded. I want to see how the temperament, how guys handle this kind of stuff. And we saw too many examples of guys who just got angry because they weren't getting what they normally get, which are birdies on par five or eagle opportunities. Some do. Again, you have to be proficient in these tournaments, and if you're not, you're going to pay the price. And then you'll eventually take yourself out of the tournament.
And, guys, I do want to say this. For as much as people might have thought that Oakmont was unfair, I think unfair means no birdies. There were tons of birdies out there if you hit the ball where you were supposed to. And the minute you didn't, you paid. At this week at the Greater Hartford Open or whatever the sponsor, Travelers, you're going to see guys hit it in the rough and then spin it on the green to within 4 feet. You don't pay for your mistakes at some of those courses.
Right.
Unless they trick it up. Oakmont isn't tricked up. You go out there in 2 months and go play it, maybe the rough isn't quite as deep, but the conditions are very much the same.
But also the final scores were not anywhere different than they've been in the previous nine, take away the first one, which was plus 13. Anywhere between minus five and even or plus five. Those have been winning scores there. So you know going into it that you've got to make sure you stay away from big numbers and take birdie opportunities when you can get them. So that's a different mindset.
Let me ask you this. First, I want to say Social Media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Biggest Loser today is any social media site that decided to post the Pirates lineup. It's one of the worst I've ever seen in 50 years of watching baseball. We'll get to that in a minute. I had somebody that Bob and I both know, a golf person, say to me, text me, way too much crying over Oakmont by the pros. Spahn won with class. Take your beating like a man, this guy said, if you're out at Oakmont. So I saw that too. I'm like, what a bunch, not all of them, but a lot. Rory comes to mind and several others come to mind. What a bunch of babies. You finally get on a course where if you shoot a crappy drive, you don't get penalized for it, but here you do, and you're going to be slamming your clubs and breaking a tee box and slamming a locker in and be a sour face the whole week. Go out and play some golf. What a bunch of babies. Did you feel like that at any point?
Yeah, absolutely. I did, because these guys have the greatest equipment from the balls to the clubs of all time. And they're used to hitting wedges into every par four and having probably a driver seven iron into par fives. They couldn't have that there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money.
Does it get any easier than that?
Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
It was a different game. You had to think around there. It's like Johnny Miller said Saturday. He said, you know, I watched DeChambeau. He said, the thing about Jack is he figured out to hit a one iron or a three wood off the tee to put it in the right place. He said, I watched DeChambeau swing. And then he said, let's just say DeChambeau is watching it on TV today.
Right. Here's the thing. Here's the point about DeChambeau. Number 12, which is almost 700 yards, par five. Okay. The prudent play on a lot of these is not to do what you like to do, which is bomb the ball all over the place. He got over that green in two on Friday. What he proceeded to do was take bogey, and he was lucky to make it because it was a 35-footer that he had to make. He got behind the green, which everyone there knew was just very intense, deep rough. Once you fly that green and you're in there, you're not going to have a good shot. So he pretty much threw it over the green into more rough. Chili dipped one in the rough. The prudent play for him should have been, after a big drive, was just get it in front of that green so you could spin something into the green. And he didn't do it because he's Bryson DeChambeau and he wants to play his way.
The thing, and Scheffler said this yesterday up in Connecticut, the thing that makes golf, I think, so unique is that I know they play on different surfaces in tennis, but the different courses call for different mentalities and different types of shots. When they go over to the Open, they might putt it from 60 yards off the green because it's a different setup, and that's the beauty of it. You play all these different types of courses, and it's the ones that can figure out that you need to change your game. But the ones that just go and bomb and do whatever they normally do, they're the ones that are throwing clubs or getting ticked off because they're not getting what they're used to getting.
Right. I thought a lot of it was embarrassing. And I think that Rory, in some circles, maybe nationally, until that final putt anyway of the whole tournament, became the biggest story. Why is he so unhappy? The whole golf world.
Family matters. He's got family issues.
Okay, a lot of us have family issues.
That's what I'm saying, but that's, you're asking me, when you're distracted in this game or any game, your mind can take you places. I'm not making
everybody
that as
in
an
the
excuse.
Golf world,
I'm just saying that's, I think that's the reason.
Everybody in the golf world rooted for him to have that career grand slam, was rooting for him, was happy for him, and all he's done since then is lift the leg and pee on everybody, including at the U.S. Open, and I took it as an insult to our town that he acted like that here,
I
that he couldn't get out of here fast enough.
And Lowry was MF and everything he could do too, you know? Come on now.
Jeff?
I think Rory was this, and he said this, after he won the career Grand Slam, and because he chased it for 11 years, he was like, what the hell am I playing for? He seems like a guy that's just kind of like, okay.
Well, then he should have gone to the Live Tour. If that's what he thinks, I thought he stayed because he has a legacy. He mentioned that at the time. He was the face of the PGA when they said, why are you staying? Because it matters to me, my legacy. He said those words.
So, and that's where his issue with the media is, because he was the guy who spoke. He made himself available. He was the guy when, okay, all this Live stuff's going on. Well, Tiger's not talking. Let's go to Rory. And he feels like he's owed by the media for doing that over those years. So when his driver was illegal in the PGA Championship or tested illegal, he had the same driver as Scheffler, but it was his name that was leaked. And he is furious about that, and that's why he's treating media like he's treating media. I mean, obviously the other stuff is
smashing a tee marker.
No, that stuff's fair game. I'm just saying, for people that look at how he acts with the media, that is where his mindset is.
I get it.
I did all this for you, and now you're pissing on me.
That's pretty.
Do you agree with him? Does he have a point?
I don't think he understands how it works.
Yeah,
I'd say to sum it up, you got to get over yourself, Rory. Get over yourself, because this is what it sounds like.
The tough thing for him is, I mean, TaylorMade makes this, so it looks bad on his sponsor. But why is it that his name and not Scotty? Why wasn't Scotty's name released as having an illegal driver, or anyone else that was playing that driver?
Right.
Why just him? So I guess I can understand his frustration of, like, he feels like he's being picked on.
I don't. I think if he's thinking that way, he's thinking the wrong way. All he has to do is address what I said. Listen, guys, there's nothing to that. It's the same.
But he's still got crazy talent. He shot 67 the final round. I mean, it's still there, but I just think mentally he's just kind of like,
I didn't know.
Now, the Open will be different because that's an hour from his home.
Yeah.
Let's see how he handles that.
I didn't know you could not be reprimanded or penalized in any way if you smashed a tee marker in half. Like, well, I've seen guys throw their clubs and stuff. I didn't know you could damage property like that.
Well, you could not be invited back like Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark.
Is that going to be the case?
Oh, yeah. Oakmont said he will no longer. Now, he would have to be if he qualifies for the tournament. But if, let's say, he wanted to come in 2 weeks before and play around, they'll be like,
right,
no, you're not welcome.
So he had to issue an apology just less than a month ago at the PGA championship.
And he took a club to a locker, right?
Two of them in there. And again, that's way after your round is over. I can understand in round if you're frustrated, something happens. Okay, I would understand that more. He had to go through 30 minutes later taking that into the locker room. So he's undergoing anger management apparently now too. So
With Adam Sandler?
I think he lost when he learned his name was Wyndham.
Yeah.
Because school had to be tough for a guy like
might have
Wyndham.
Been. Might have been. Jeff, another topic we had today. Jeff Hathorn joining us for the 1 o'clock hour. We should be watching, if the game ever gets underway, the doubleheader, Skeens and Scooble today. This should be maybe the best pitching matchup in baseball all season. It would be. There's no better pitching matchup. And we feel like, as much as we may like Don Kelly, that he's the reason it's not happening. It would seem that if he wanted Skeens in this opener today, that would be the matchup that all of baseball wants, that I guarantee you Skeens wants. And it seems like he's opting for, well, we'll have a better chance in game two, Skeens versus undecided. Where do you fall on this? Any blame for Don Kelly, or do you know where he's coming from?
I know where he's coming from. Why have Skeens lose another 1-0 game?
He's going to lose to undecided 1-0 too.
But it gives you a better opportunity to get the win in game two than it would.
But don't you? Don't,
I get
don't
what you're. I get what you're saying. I'm just
don't
telling
your
you.
Fires kick
I understand
in?
Their mindset of let's Skeens gives us the best chance to get one of these games. And
I get it. But I would hope, and I know Don Kelly is an ultra competitive guy. I would just hope that would kick in for my ball club. Let's go play in one of the highest profile games all season in this sport.
And let's
go.
Beat him. Beat him for Paul Skeens. He's done things for you. Now you wake up and do something for him. I would have loved that too, because I think originally when this came out, they were Scooble's pitching on Wednesday, Skeens on Thursday, right? Technically, they could have put Skeens on Wednesday to go head to head, but they didn't
because they had a day off.
And I understood that. Now, with the rain out, they're both going to pitch today. So why not just do it? Just say, hey, I'm going to match him up.
I wish he would have.
I do, too.
I wish he would have, too. I'm just saying I understand what his philosophy was. Plus, you know, you always start the veteran in the game one of a doubleheader. What a bunch of crap that is. That reasoning to me was kind of like,
Do you have a problem with O'Neill Cruz not playing? I know he's gone Scooble, all righties.
Yes. I do not have a problem with him not playing against Scooble. Because Canario
neither do I.
Has played well.
Even though I think he needs to be out there,
I would
just
tell
about
him, like I said earlier, to close his eyes and swing. I would rather have him than Tommy Pham against Scooble.
Well, I agree with that too, though. They don't have many other options, though. What are they doing?
This, Jeff, I'm sure you've seen the lineup, but I'll repeat it for you just in case. It goes Nick Gonzalez, Andrew McCutchen, Joey Bart, Canario, Hayes. Mm. Kiner Falefa, Triolo, Pham, and Ron Cook's long-lost son, Billy. Listen, as recently as last week or yesterday or 2 days ago, they've put out horrible lineups. I've never seen a worse lineup than that. The whole lineup has 16, 17 home runs, the same as Spencer Torkelson. That is a horrific, horrific lineup. I bet you if you took AAA, there's got to be a... If you took the best of AAA, you'd have a way better lineup than that. But there might be some AAA teams that could put more threatening players on the field.
So along with not starting Skeens, they pretty much put a lineup out there that says, okay, we'll go for game two.
I guess.
But what are his options? I mean, it's just...
I mean, I would put Cruz. I'd back Cruz eighth or ninth.
Look at the homegrown hitting talent for Detroit.
And the talent they've bought.
And they're still, most of them are in their 20s.
Yeah.
And then they realize that this is their time to win. And they went out and spent a lot of money.
Yes, they did.
What do you know?
Yes, they did.
What do you know?
Because they have Scooble.
And the right-handed Skubal is Paul Skeens.
Yeah. He'll have Alexander Canario batting cleanup for him later today. All right, Jeff, please stick around with us. You have a little exercise here on ESPN's quarter century team. What if you and I and Bob, this is Jeff's idea, chose a quarter century Steeler team? Bob, are you up to that
task?
Sure.
There are a lot of good candidates.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we do it next, shall we? On Pomp and Joe with Jeff Hathorne.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.